Everyone, I must say that yesterday it was a lovely afternoon, wasn't it? Yeah, I walked up the hill near your house. I realized it was near your house when I saw it. And I thought to myself, this is a lovely place, but this place is not for the faint-hearted. You know you should be able to climb up and down the hills when you're walking up and down Woodingdene. And when I took the bus to the marina yesterday, I realized what a lovely place you have because you have everything. You have nestled Amex Stadium. You really kept it well. I mean, nobody would know that it's there until you pass by it. And I would say that the place is, as it is mountainous, hilly. And then I passed by the South Downs National Park. First time for me to see. But what reminded me is that if you look at the Bible, every time Jesus speaks to his people, he always go up to the mountain. You realize that? So Woodingdene should remind you that God is near to everyone. He wants to speak to everyone. Woodingdene is a place hilly enough to remind you that the God that we worship is the God who reveals himself. The main question this morning of our sermon is this: what changes when God reveals himself to us? What changes when God himself reveals to us? I must say to you, it may take you 100 years in this place to convince people that God is real unless God will reveal himself to the people here. The moment God reveals himself to the people here, you have to be ready because these seats will not be enough. The number of service that we will have in this place will double or even triple. The place that you're coming to could be changed, and probably we need to find and even buy Amex Stadium so that we could worship together. A church in the U.S. started small. And it later on grew up a big, and later it's really so big that they have to buy the stadium in that state so that they could worship. I'm not telling you that I'd like that kind of church. I still like a church that's like this. If we're going to have 1,000, then I'm going to divide you into 50 because I don't want to have nameless people, nameless faces before me. I want to know who's Rob, that there's about 3 of them here. I have to know that there's Maria here. I have to know Rose, that every time I even just close my eyes, just what we did this morning, I know exactly who you are and where you were sitting. As I told you before, I have a photographic memory. So if I don't say yes or hello to you, don't think that I don't remember you. Now fast forward to the passages we just read. We have Moses in Exodus 24. Then we have Peter and John and James in Matthew 17. Then we have the writings of Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 that tells us all about when God reveals himself to them. I must say to you, one of the strangest things that a minister can do is to tell people that God actually talks to people. That actually God reveals himself to people, not all at once, not in the same way that you would imagine, but in ways that you would be able to distinctly know that God is really speaking to you. I visited several weeks ago to a family, to a couple, whose husband just told me, still tears in his eyes, telling me that one time he was just doing some, you know, normal things inside the church, and suddenly it dawned on him something special is happening. And then he knew it was God's presence talking to him and being present with him. And his life never go the same again. Because when God appears, when God reveals himself, your life is going to change forever. Some people could not be immediate change that would happen. Nothing like that. It could be gradual. Some people, then and there, things could change. Like Paul, when he met God on the way to Damascus, his life changed immediately. Some people, like Timothy, he learned the scripture from his grandmother, Lewis, passed on to his mother, Eunice, and then he heard the gospel, and later on, he realized that this is the gospel that God wants me to learn, and so he grew in that faith. So therefore, those children running around amok sometimes, don't be stressed by them. Because the moment they hear the gospel, just like when I was 6 years old, that gospel grew in my heart, and look at me now. I'm not telling they're going to be a minister, but you know, Garrett will be happy if they will be. But the thing is, the gospel that we heard day one until we grow old, they will grow in our hearts forever. Because the word of the Lord stays forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord will never pass away. You have to remember that. Even in heaven, we still have the Bible. Not because we're going to be led by it, but because we would be reminded that this has been our guidebook, has been our own guidance all the way in this life until we reach the portals of heaven. I must say, the question really begs so many answers, but I'd like to stick with at least three if I could make it today. What changes when God reveals himself to us? Number one, in Peter's case, Peter's faith became Peter's fear became faith. Peter's fear became faith. Because in Matthew 16, when God reveals to him that, "Who am I?" he said. He asked them. And Peter said, "Lord, you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Yes, that was the revelation of God to him. Trouble is, several minutes later, when Jesus was telling them, "By the way, guys, we're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die there. They're going to crucify me there. I'm going to die there." It was also Peter said, "Far be it, Lord. It should not happen to you. It shouldn't happen to you." And then Jesus looked back at him and says, "Get away from me, Satan." Imagine that. The reason why Peter said that is because he's afraid that the revelation he had just heard and knew that actually Jesus is the Messiah could be erased by the fact that he's going to die. I mean, how come the Messiah in his head is someone who's going to lead Israel against all the Roman empires, and this Jesus who he just realized to be the Messiah is also saying he's going to die? So he's afraid. But fast forward in 2 Peter. Fast forward in 2 Peter. Fast forward in Matthew 17. The realization is that when Jesus showed himself to Peter, Peter's fear became a strong faith. I have the habit that I told you about of passing on the passages and say, "Can you please tell me what you think about this?" And at least I can think there's about three emails I received. One of those who give the contribution about the reflection says this: she realized that God doesn't speak to everyone in the Bible. He only speaks to some people in the Bible. And Peter was one of those blessed person who actually heard God speak at least twice in his lifetime. Can anybody hear that, you know, every morning or at least every day you hear, at least once, have you heard God talking to you? I hope so. Not every day to tell you that, you know, what kind of brand of toothpaste you have to buy. I don't think God will tell you that. It's up to you to think about it, because if you would be able to know. What I'm saying is that at your very needy time in your life that you really need to make a very important decision in your life, or maybe you didn't even know that you need to make a decision in your life, God show himself to you and tell you exactly what to do. I'm sure you will experience that. With Peter, the time he was with Jesus together with James and John, God showed to him. Through that transfiguration, he saw Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. And Peter, personally, I think he has ADHD. He just talked and speak immediately. "Oh Lord, we're going to build a house here. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. We're going to build that." And then what happened? The Bible says that then the cloud come down and cover them. And from the cloud, God spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I loved. You listen to him." Nothing else. "This is my Son whom I love, whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Because Peter started talking. He started talking, "Oh, we're going to build a house for you, Lord. One for Elijah, one for Moses." Three. What he's talking about is just like, I think I like Peter to be my, you know, co-minister. He's always thinking about the building. I like him. The situation is that I think his inner or jerk reaction was that he knew he wanted to keep that experience for a bit of time. That's why he wanted Moses and Elijah staying there with Jesus. Well, who would not be? If God showed himself to you, would you say, Lord, you go now because I need to do some laundry? I don't think you would. You remember the story in Exodus 24? Moses, when he got into the cloud where God was, he spent 40 days and 40 nights with God. Counting plus the 6 days he has to wait for God to speak from the cloud, that's 46 days of waiting. Here sometimes, oh my God, our service runs more than an hour. The preaching is so long, I could die immediately at the time. I have to wait. We have so much to complain. You know what? As a Filipino, many years ago, let's say 20 years ago, I am really confused with you guys. Because the church service has to be finished within 1 hour. And if it is not finished within 1 hour, I observe some people, you know, walk out. And I thought, ooh, we don't do that over there. I mean, they are doing it here. You know why? You know why? Because the bus schedules are on point. So therefore, if they put their Sunday roast and in a low heat and all that, if they miss the bus, they're not going to get the right bus going home. So therefore, the Sunday service should be finished. So I say, forgive them. They know what they're doing. But I would say this, little did we know that when we really experience the presence of God, time is irrelevant. Time is irrelevant. I heard a story in Scotland. One of the churches there, I think the Charlotte Church before, experienced revival. Oh, people doesn't want to leave the church. That's why in Scotland, especially in Baptist churches, when you go, when you happen to visit one of the churches, when they finish the service, you wouldn't see people talking immediately. They would still sit down and continue to pray for at least 5-10 minutes because it has been the traditional practice since the revival happened, because people doesn't want to leave the church. So just sit down and pray. Because they experience the presence of God. They experience God revealing himself to them, and therefore, time was irrelevant to them. Nice, isn't it? But of course, God knows that we have work tomorrow, so we don't have to stay here the whole day. God knows that we have to do something in the house. So God knows we have to do that, so therefore, we are forgiven to do that. What I'm trying to point out is this. If something special happens to you as a Christian, when you know for sure that God was talking to you, God was revealing himself to you, you wouldn't dare to say, Lord, okay, let's schedule this by tomorrow, okay? By 7 o'clock, let's get back to the business. No, you don't do that. You spend that time with him because you know those times are special. They are special. And I must tell you this. God speaks to his people. I guarantee that. I experience that. But he doesn't speak to you every day as in the way that you would imagine. He speaks to you at the time, which is the right time, in the right place, and for the right reason. He will always do that. He will always do that. He's not the kind of God who will do a little chit-chat and he will talk you up or chat you up. No, he's not like that. The moment he speaks, he knows that he means business. Because he wants you to know exactly what he wants you to know. Peter's fear changed to become faith. His faith was strengthened when he saw Jesus on that Transfiguration Mountain. When he realized that God was speaking because of Jesus. They never heard God the Father's voice until Jesus came. It was only the time that Jesus was baptized, and the second time around was during the Transfiguration time, when Jesus is the reason we can see that God the Father speaks. And have you realized what he said? This is my son, whom I loved, whom I'm very pleased. Listen to him. God is so strong in his declaration of his love to Jesus. God speaks to the people that people should listen to Jesus because Jesus is the center of everything. You may hear so many voices. I can preach, yeah. I can babble, yeah. I can talk too much, yeah. But you have to listen to Jesus because he's the main person here that you have to listen. If I speak falsely, shoot me with a Bible verse. And I'm really saying, thank you. I stood or I stand corrected. But when you say something, make sure that it is backed up by what Jesus said. But I must say to you this for a bit of a trivia. The Bible wasn't written according to how it was arranged right now. If you open the Bible, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? But it wasn't written like that. The first or the oldest Bible in the Old Testament is the book of Job. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy were written later. And in the New Testament, it wasn't Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John who were written first. It was actually the epistles. Now we're saying, Gerald, why are you saying that? The point is this. The others that I mentioned wrote, written last was the fact that the revelation of God that happened to Peter, to Paul, became so fresh in their mind, so strong in their senses that they cannot help but write about it because they want people to listen and hear about their experience. That is so very meaningful to me because the fact is, it means to say, I cannot preach like this until I experience God himself. You cannot tell people about Jesus unless you experience who Jesus is. You can hear stories about him. You can hear stories from your family, maybe passed on from your parents. But when you experience, even just once, the reality that God is real, I'm telling you, your life will change around 360 degrees. And that's my prayer for you guys. That's my prayer for you. And then you would say, well, if Peter's fear changed to faith, then what it is then? Well, I must say this. When God reveals himself to Peter, it's not only that his fear changed into faith. Jesus became the center of his faith. Have you not remembered what 2 Peter said? He said, for we spoke about the things we have seen and heard. We witness him. And there's three words he said there. We have seen his majesty. Yeah? Word majesty is very important. Before, when Peter, James, and John were disciples working with Jesus on earth, they became like best buddies. They're trying to observe God, I mean Jesus, what he's doing. And sometimes he's actually scolding him. Like, you know, Jesus, don't dare to say that you're going to die. He's saying that. But after Jesus went up to heaven, and after Jesus was raised to life, his view of Jesus changed. He called him his majesty. Meaning to say, everything he had seen before changes when he realized that the Jesus his best buddy with is actually the Son of God. And therefore his view of Jesus changed. Jesus became the majestic Son of God. What would you feel if one of these days, one of the most reliable staff from Buckingham Palace come to your place, to your door, knock on your door and says, Kathleen, I am pleased to inform you that you're actually Lady Kathleen of this and that. Your grandfather has been connected to the king, and therefore he sent his apologies and he would like to recognize you as part of the clan, the royal clan. I think you will call your children and bring all those chinas out again and you will have all the tea. Because that is a great recognition, right? Now imagine this. You're walking down the road and you realize that the God who reveals himself to you is actually the majestic Son of God. What would you feel? Nah, Jesus just saw himself to me. Nah, that's it. No, your life will change. Because you know that you are not connected only with a simple person, with an ordinary person. You're actually connected to the majestic person. And that's not only once in a lifetime experience, but it is also a forever kind of experience. Last but not the least, some people say, what would change in your life if God reveals himself to you? I think it will change the way you view the Bible. It will change the way you view the Scripture. It will change the way you value the Scripture. Because in 2 Peter, he said there that the Word of God, the presence of God, Jesus Himself, is just like the morning star. He's rising in you. He's going to be revealed in you. He's going to be seen in you. And that's the strength of the witness of the Scripture. Because Jesus, in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And according to John chapter 1, Jesus was the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. So when God reveals Himself to us, it changes our perspective, how we view the Bible. That's why we are not people that when somebody said, oh, they burned the Bible, then we go there, protest, and kill people who burned the Bible. We don't do that. Of course, we're hurt, right? Somebody burned the Bible. We are not the kind of religion that would, you know, kill people or hurt people because their book was destroyed. We are the people who believe that the Word of God is not contained is not dependent on the pages of the paper or the strength of the hardback cover. It's actually the Word of God is the living Word of God, Jesus Himself. And what we have read from that Scripture is a testimony of what He said and what is recorded. And according to the Scripture, heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will never pass away. Yeah, you can burn that. Happy if you do. But that doesn't mean that Bible is gone. Because the Word of God stays forever. So we are not insecure people. We are not. We are secured people that the Word of God, that the good news for everyone is forever. It's forever. Somebody said to me, she would like to point out that when Peter and James and John were up there, God said to them, listen to him. The person who told me that in her contribution said that what God is telling us on that passage is this: when we do obey God, when we do listen to God, we must follow it up with our actions. Listening means doing it. That's our trouble with us Christians. We come to church every Sunday. Imagine 52 Sundays a year, right? 52. If you make an absent, fine, you know. But for many Sundays you listen to the Scripture, people would tell me, but Cheryl, we cannot hold those Scriptures in our head. We cannot remember all the sermons. Well, I wouldn't blame you because most of the sermons I heard, probably I forgot. But the good thing is, the Holy Spirit will store that messages you heard in your heart, that at the right time, at the right place, He will remind you. I can guarantee you that. Because there was a time in my life that for the 3 years in a row, I wasn't able to read the Bible as regularly as I can. But did I lose my faith? No, because every time I need something, it just happens that I remember the Scripture. I remember the Scripture. I remember it. Who did it? My brain? Yeah, probably. But I believe it's the Holy Spirit reminding me of the Scripture. So when you meet God, when you recognize God, when you experience God, it will change the way you look, you behold, you value, you appreciate the Bible. And if you want to have kind of a story that would back it up, I'll tell you one. When I was about 25 years old, a young pastor, I was sent to this church in the Philippines, where I became later, without my own choice, became the senior minister because the minister retired. I work in a church where there's about 5 of us as ministers in the church. When he retired, I became the minister, the senior minister. One afternoon, one woman was running towards the church gates, shouting, Pastor, Pastor, I need help, I need help. My son is having a demon possession. I went to my local priest and he would not come and help me. Please help me. Well, okay. I said to my fellow minister, I said, let's go and help and try to help the woman. So we took the bike, we went to the place, and while we were yet at the gate, I heard the voice that says, don't let those 3 people come in. We don't want them here. I said, ooh. But we just went through. When we arrived, what I saw was a small boy, probably about 14 years old. His body is heaving up and down the bed. And there's about four people trying to pin him down on the bed. And his voice is changing from a woman to a man to a big man to a small boy, changing all now and then. I thought, oh dear, is this the way demon possession looks like? And he started cursing and, you know, talking rubbish. And so I said to him, you have to get out of this man. I said, let's pray, guys. So we prayed. We prayed silently. We prayed softly. And then God reminded me and said, you have to ask the name. Because Jesus, when he was dealing with the demon-possessed person, he said, what is your name? So I asked him, what is your name? And that is the time that I saw that the boy started to like that, and his mouth is totally closed. He wouldn't say anything. So I said, if you're not going to say anything, I will ask God to send this angel, and the angel will be the one to sort you out. And then he opened his mouth and he said the word, and he said the name that in my language means devil. So I used the name word, and the same word, and says, in the name of Jesus, I command you, get out of this child. And the child let a very high shriek, you know, shout so hard that until now we can remember, it's just so spooky. And then his body fell on the bed. He opened his eyes and says, what happened to me? What happened to me? And so we told him what happened. Several weeks later, I said, if you're open for Bible study, we'll do some Bible study here. And we did. So we did a Bible study with him and his brother, older brother, and his mother as well. And several months later, they went to a water baptism. And before I left in 2003 to London, I realized that he wants to be in the ministry. And when I was in London, I heard he trained to become a pastor, and he became a pastor. And his brother, too, who was an addict, a marijuana addict before. Why I'm telling you this? Because I can still recall that the only thing I did for that boy was to declare the word of God to him. I didn't do anything like, you know, where's my cross here? I'm going to put the cross on your head. No, I don't do that. I just said it to him. In the name of Jesus, get out of this boy. And it did. The word of God doesn't depend on your strength and your ability to make it so strong when you declare it. I just said it. In Jesus' name, according to the Bible, you mustn't be here. The word of the Lord says this, and therefore, get out of this boy. And he did. And it happened again to another woman, but that story is another for another time. But I must say this, when I say that that time is something of a very, very vivid memory for me, I think that is the time also that God reveals to me himself that his word is stronger than any demonic power. And it's true. Of course, in the UK, it doesn't happen. You don't see it often. You wouldn't even see it here happening. But I must say to you, not all mental health problems are actually caused by mental health issues. It could be triggered by something that happens in the past. And I'm one of those who believe that if you look closer enough, there could be some demonic reasons for it. I'm not saying everything. No, but there are kinds. So what is my approach as what God has revealed to me? When you experience that, pray to God. If it doesn't go well, go to the hospital. You know what I mean? We Christians don't dissect illnesses and then solve it according to our faith. No, we don't do that. We pray, we ask God for healing. If God doesn't want us to heal us in spiritual way, then we go to the hospital and ask God to use the hospital to heal us. Did I say it right? Rather than dismissing God and say, yeah, you don't need God for this, we need the vitamin. No. Because God in his ways can do that. That's just a way of saying to you, that's my experience when God reveals himself to me on that occasion. When God reveals himself to you, your life will be changed. And from the time, I never looked back again. Because I know God is real. I know that my faith was strengthened by the time I saw that happened. I know that God can change my life forever into this part of the ministry. But little did I know that I will end up in Wooding Dean one day. It's nice, isn't it? If you told me when I was 25 that I'm going to end up here preaching to you about these guys, I wouldn't believe you. But now I have to believe. Because God, when he reveals himself, that's what he do. What happened to Peter? The guy who was so afraid before that he even hid during the time Jesus was interrogated. He hid. And after the three roasters, he actually even said that he didn't know Jesus. What happened to him? At the time, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came, he is the one who preached the gospel to them. He doesn't care. He's not afraid. His faith made him strong, a very, very strong Christian, because God changed him when God reveals himself to him. Another lady who sent me an email told me that, actually, when God showed himself to Peter, James, and John, they needed it, especially Peter. Because Peter at the time was very confused, probably, that why he just heard Jesus telling them that he is the Messiah, confirming it to them, and then he said, I'm going to die. So Peter was a bit confused or maybe sad at the time. So when he revealed himself after 6 days through the transfiguration, God actually strengthened the faith of Peter, saying, it's going to be all right. Don't worry. It's going to be all right. And that tells us one thing. Being a Christian, being a believer in God, doesn't give you the guarantee that you will never have dark days. Sometimes you have more. You have more. When you're experiencing the pain, that when you're taking medicine, it doesn't work at all, 100%. You'll have more of those dark days. And people were complaining, Woodingdin is so dark today. Well, lo and behold, time will come, it will be sunny anyway. But as Christians, we all know we cannot dismiss the fact that in our lives, we may experience dark days, like as Peter, James, and John. But God is so gracious. At those kind of times, God will come to us and reveal himself to us. For those people with big bay windows, sometimes God reveals himself to you when you open the curtain and you see the flooding sunlight towards your window. Remember that. God has no darkness at all. He is the light. For those people who are really into technology, God can reveal himself to you through algorithms. You would say, where did that come from? All because all knowledges in the world and on the earth, everywhere, we are flooded with it, and yet they're all from God. You want any proof? Where do you think the first word tablet came from? From the science book? No, from the Bible. When the giving of the Ten Commandments, what was used there? Tablets. Jesus, God, is way ahead of us. And who said stylus? It's in the Bible as well. Now we're just using stylus on our mobile phones, right? God is so ahead of us that all the scientists are doing are just mimicking the words and trying to use them. So nowadays, this is out of range now. Nowadays, when you're a grandma and when you shout to your grandchildren, if they are born in 2000, when you say you want a tablet because you're going to take the tablet, tell them you got to have the pill box. Otherwise, they'll bring to you the iPad. In a way, I would say this. I really love the fact that God reveals himself to his people, because in that way, we are updated all the time. Gerald, you would say, how do you know that God revealing himself to us would change our lives? That's because there is no other way. People who come to the church and worship, and people says, who wrote about worship says, nobody comes to worship and really worship God well if their lives were not changed after the service. Something changed in you. Sometimes you may roast the sermon of your pastor, while you're having your Sunday roast, the preaching today is nice. It's fine. That means you are reacting to it. That means you're responding to it. It's okay. Sometimes you feel that the message for you today is not for you. It's okay. All because, all in good time, God will reveal himself to you. And mind you, God always reveals himself at the time that you don't or you least expect it. He always does. Because that's God. He's just trying to tell you that, mate, or lady, or, woman, I'm way ahead of you. But I'm here, I want to tell you that this is what I want you to know. As I'd like to wrap this up, I must say this. Peter's situation is not far from our situation. Peter's life has been turned upside down the moment he knew Jesus. But Peter, like us, tried his way to learn God, after all, one step at a time, and sometimes he didn't get it right. But God, in his grace, was so patient with Peter, the blabbing Peter, the talking always Peter, into a Peter that God would say, in you, I will give the keys to the kingdom of heaven. In you, I will build my church. In you, I will do all these amazing things. Because God is the God who is the one working through us. What I love the fact about this morning as we start the service is this. Rob is leading the communion. And some people who are used to this high-ranking church would say, oh dear, why are they doing that kind of communion here? It should be the pastor doing that. It should be the reverend doing that. I must tell you this. It's not because I'm Baptist, but it's because the Bible says that we are the priesthood of the believers. And therefore, anybody who put their faith in Jesus Christ, believe in him, and submitted their lives to him, can lead the communion. Why am I saying that? That is the part of the revelation that we can receive from God, telling us that the church is the body of Christ, and even the giving of the communion shouldn't be a high rank position. The only thing I wouldn't say yes, if somebody who's drunk, not believing in Jesus, would come and say, hey, let me give you this communion. I would say, no, far be it from it. Go away. It's not your part. It's not your part. The revelation of God changes the life of a person, even the whole church. And as we go out, I must encourage you, talk to God. Lord, this is my problem. If you reveal yourself to Peter, tell me. Please, Lord, help me. Tell me. Because like the church in Saudi Arabia or somewhere in the Middle East, I attended one conference in Whitby at least 20 years ago when one pastor there who was formerly from the Middle East stood up, gave a testimony that said one day he got a visitor who happened to say to him, I dreamt of a church with this cross on the top. And so I looked for it, and it was you. And according to my dream, Jesus said, go to this church, and they will tell you about me. See? Jesus is the one doing the talking, right? Because no one dared to tell him the gospel at the time. So I must say this. We are all in a free place. We can tell people about Jesus. Of course, you cannot harass them because they will call the police. But I must say that if you're given a chance, you can. Because you can only talk about what God had revealed to you. Right, let me not sound this very difficult as I finish this. I'm not proposing here that every day of your life you have to look at the sky, wait for something to appear and make you think, oh, this is God talking to me. God sometimes doesn't do that. He talks to us in a very simple way. Perhaps through someone who comes to you without any asking question, tells you exactly what you need to hear. That is God talking to you. Perhaps through someone telling you something that he prayed for you, and that God is telling you something. But overall, as according to the contribution I received lately to remind me, every revelation, every talking about God telling me, talking to me, this and that, you have to check the Bible is there. Because all revelations and all talk about God should come back to the Bible. Don't believe someone coming to you and said, God said, I want to marry you, because it's not in the Bible. I would say this, dare to dream the things that is in the Bible, and dare to dream to be Peter who always checks with God and depend on God whenever it comes to revelation. Now that's my piece. We can turn off the recording now that we can have questions and answer. I'll give you some time. Yeah, five minutes if there is.